37 is going to give a prophecy that is not necessarily a prophecy about something that's going to happen only in the future, but it is a prophecy about how to deal with a certain situation that is going to continue to happen over and over and over again. Now, I don't want to get too off in the weeds here about this, but there is a picture that's being painted here of a future event that is coming in the nation of Israel. But there's also a picture that's being painted here of the life of a believer. And so let's just jump into it this morning before I get too carried away. Verse number 1 of chapter number 37 of Ezekiel, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you in skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, and great, an exceeding great army. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I need your help. God, right now I need you to, God, Lord, just give me comfort in my spirit. Lord, help me now, God, embolden me to preach this word the way you want it preached this morning, God. And I'll try my best, Lord, just to let you have your way. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Ezekiel was put in an interesting predicament here. He was taken to a place, a valley, the Bible calls it, a big open space that was filled not with people, not with life, but with bones. Not just bones, but dry bones. You know what a dry bone is good for?
Nothing.
You know, if somebody in here went into cardiac arrest, there's a chance that we might could do some CPR on you. And although your heart may have stopped beating, we might get you back from that situation. Matter of fact, I would say that you could get in a pretty bad medical state, and there are doctors that exist that have the tools and abilities to bring you back from that, from the brink in a bad situation. Would y'all agree with that? People fall off the roof of a 40-foot tall building, and they figure out a way to bring them back to life. And that's amazing. But if I'm standing here looking at a pile of dry bones, there ain't nothing I can do for that. Here's what I want to preach to you for just a little while. What to do with dry bones. I believe that in our lifetime, we can see the picture of what's being painted here all around us. I'm telling you this morning that I have stood in the pulpit of churches in Eastern North Carolina, that when I looked out from the pulpit, what I saw was a valley filled with dry bones. There was no life. There was no love. There was no comfort. There was no peace. There was no joy. There was no salvation. There was none of those things. There was just dryness and deadness and harshness and no work being done. I'm talking about, I have
witnessed this with my own eyes. I have seen swaths of Christianity that are so dried up and dead and useless that they have no function except to exist. There's no life. I've seen Christians who at one time were serving God and doing the work of the ministry and faithfully walking with Jesus, that get to a place in their life that when you look at what's going on in their life, there's nothing but dryness. Christian, can I tell you something this morning? If you've never been in this situation, then it may be a day coming in your life where you look around and all of a sudden it feels like everything's just dried up and died. And you feel as if there is no function left to your life, to your situation. And that's where Ezekiel was at this morning. He was standing looking out on a valley, on a field here, filled with dryness, deadness. And here's the thing. They weren't, those bones were not about to be dead. They were already there. They weren't about to be dry. They were already there. And so it wasn't like Ezekiel was going to be able to catch them by the wrist and bring them back from the brink. It was as if Ezekiel was going to have to start over with this situation. So I want to give you this just a few minutes this morning, what to do with dry bones. First of all, I want you to see this. If we're going to deal with dryness, if we're going to deal with deadness in our Christian life, then the first thing we're going to have to do to be able to do as Ezekiel did and bring something out of this, we're going to have to accept that we cannot fix the problem. Look at what your Bible says in verse number 2. And caused me to pass them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. It's a big problem. Hey, can I tell you this? You ain't the only person, you're not the only Christian who's ever experienced a dry season. You're not the only Christian who's ever experienced a season where you looked around and didn't seem like nothing was happening. There were very many in the open valley. By the way, you know what's interesting about an open valley? It's easy to see. Hey, can I tell you something? If everybody in your life that cares about you is telling you there's a problem, there's probably a problem. If everybody that loves you is telling you something's up, something's probably up. And lo, listen to this. They were very dry. That's an interesting phrase. Let me say it like this. It's kind of like when Jesus walked up on the tomb of Lazarus in John 11 and they said, Lord, he's been in that tomb for 3 days, 4 days. By now he stinks. You know, they were telling him, Jesus, he ain't just dead, he's real dead. Right? He's extra dead. I mean, listen, I've heard stories about people being revived after they've been quote-unquote dead for 10 or 15 minutes and that type of thing, but 4 days, it's a little late. You show up with the defibrillator 4 days later, friend, you're too late. These bones, listen, there might have been, if this had been a valley full of bodies that had hearts and minds and organs and veins and all the things that it took to functionally have life still attached in that moment, it may have looked like something that could be done to revive this valley full of people, but that wasn't what we're looking at here. We're looking at something that is beyond our ability to fix. Dryness, deadness is not something that can be fixed with a simple answer. It's not something that can be fixed by carnal means. It's not something that can be fixed by the hand of man. Listen to me now. Here's what I'm saying. You can get to a place, a lot of times you'll look around and realize that you've kind of gotten into a dry spell in your Christian life. And here's your idea. Here's what I'm going to do to fix this problem. This is my solution to the problem. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to step one, two. I hear this all the time. the realm of Christianity, I hear these preachers, 10 steps to have a happier day. You know, 3 ways to fix your life. Listen, friend, this is not a problem that you can just fix.
Amen.
When you're staring at a valley full of bones and they're very dry, did you know your body is like 75% water? I don't know the exact percentage, but it's a bunch. It's more water than anything else. You know what water is? Wet.
Yep.
I thought about this. If your bones are very dry, you're missing a whole lot of what you need to live.
Amen.
That is not a problem that can be solved by you coming up with a creative solution. I'm telling you, I see this so much in modern Christianity. Every big church I know of, and I'm not knocking them because I got friends that got big churches and thank God for them, reach a lot of people, but I always chuckle when they talk about they all have a creative team. You know, because they gotta pump out this content and be creative. Hey, look up in here. That's all fine and dandy, but you better have a hold of the Creator.
Amen.
If you're going to see something happen outside of your ability.
Amen.
I'm talking about dealing with a situation that you can't fix. And we're going to have to accept that because our natural way of thinking is, I have a problem, now I'm going to solve it, and here's how I'm going to do that. I'm going to sit down and figure out how it is that I'm going to solve this problem. And listen, I'm telling you right now, the only thing that you're going to be able to do with a dry bone is put some Band-Aids on it and glue them together and make you one of them skeletons like they got in science class. But you can't make it have life because you don't possess the ability to convey life. Listen to this. Verse number 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now that's an interesting question. Ezekiel, God's speaking to Ezekiel right here. Can we all agree that if there is an answer to this problem, God has the answer?
Amen.
Right? If this can be done, it's going to be because God can do it. And Ezekiel recognized that. God asked him a question which was somewhat rhetorical, but still allowed Ezekiel to answer. He said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? I want you to look at how Ezekiel answered this question. He said, O Lord, thou knowest. Here's what he said. He said, Lord, I don't know if they can live or not, but if they can, it'll be because you made it happen. He said, Lord, I don't know if this problem can be solved or not, but if it gets solved, it's going to get solved because you did something that I couldn't do. I tell you what we need to learn how to do in our Christian life. We need to learn how to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves and how to do what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, cast our care upon Him. We need to learn how to hand Him the problem. Because here's what we do. Many times, I know this because I've done this. I can't tell you how many times I've done this. God has convicted me or dealt with me over something during the preaching, and I get in an altar like this, and I say, Lord, here you go. It's yours. I can't fix this problem. You've got to have it. It's yours. Here it is. And I lay it on the altar and say, Lord, there's my problem. And then when we're shaking hands and hugging necks and walking out the door, I make sure I pick it up and take it with me when I leave. We have a way of asking the Lord to fix the problem, but only if we don't think we can do it. Here's what Ezekiel said. He said, Lord, if this is going to get done, it's going to be because you done it. If this is going to happen, hey, some of y'all come in here toting some big problems this morning. Let's just get down to where the rubber meets the road. Hey, listen, I know we got a lot out this morning. That's all right. That time change, well, that whoops them every time. But hear me right here. Some of y'all got some big problems that nobody in here don't even know nothing about. And some of y'all are on the precipice of facing some big problems that nobody don't know nothing about. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I want to encourage you this morning. You can't fix it, but He can.
That's right.
Let me say it more like this. If it can be fixed, it'll be because He fixed it.
Amen.
And the quicker that you realize that fact and get out of His way, the quicker He can do what He can do.
Amen.
You know, we don't get to the beginning of God till we get to the end of us. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't even start doing things smart until you realize he needs to be in charge.
We need to accept that we can't fix the problem. Not only that, how do we deal with this? What do we do? Because here's how we're built, and here's how we think. We can give me something to do, right, to get there. So the Lord gives Ezekiel an assignment. Hey, thank God the Lord will keep you busy if you'll let him.
Amen.
He gives Ezekiel an assignment. And his assignment is, here's what we're going to do with these dry bones. This is so good. Y'all, so listen.
He said, we're going to have a preaching service.
Listen to what your Bible says. Go to verse number 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy. Now, you underline that word prophesy right there. We're not talking about future prophecy. This word prophesy, that's the same word as preach. Proclaim. Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is interesting too.
Everybody wait, say amen.
Amen.
He said, not only, Ezekiel, are we going to have a preaching service with these dried up bones, but here's what I want you to tell them. Here's what I want you to center it around. He said, I want you to give them the word of the Lord. I'm going to just say this before I say anything else. It'd be real good if the preachers of the pulpits of 2024 America would hone in on the word of God rather than on their opinions and thoughts and politics. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, the word of God gives us all the answers. If you rely on... I just had this conversation last week. We were in the revival there at the juvenile prison. And I told one of those young men, I said, let me tell you something that you need to know. I said, if you put your faith in me, here's what I can promise you. There will come a day when I will fail you. I know that because I know me. Because I'm not God. I'm just like you are. I fall short. I said, if you put all your stock in a relationship with me, then there's going to come a time when you need me and I'm not there. If for no other reason than where you're at, I can't get to it. But Jesus isn't like that. See, Jesus never fails you. Jesus will never leave you hanging. There's never anywhere that you're going to be that he's not.
Amen.
David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. Don't matter where you end up, he can go. So what do we preach? What's the solution to the problem that the Lord puts forth? The first thing is, let's get to preaching. This is hard for some people to wrap their mind around, but I'm telling you, this is the truth. Whatever your problem is, spiritually, physically, emotionally, in your life, part of the solution to that problem is to put yourself into a situation where the Word of God is being preached.
Amen.
There is a reason that Jesus founded and designed the church to be what it is. There's a reason that the apostles designed in the book of Acts, the way that the layout of the church would be. Because the preaching of God's word is powerful and has the ability to do things that man cannot do. I cannot tell you how many times I have preached a message and had 3 or 4 people come to me and tell me that God dealt with me about this, that, or the other thing. And I don't even, none of that ain't even what I was talking about. Because the preaching of God's word has the ability to do things that I can't do. Think about how many promises God's made about his word. He said, my word will not return void. If you put it out there, it's going to come back with some results. Wherewithal the psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, David said, that I might not sin against God. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What am I saying? I'm saying that the preaching of God's word is the first step in any effective plan to deal with dryness. Say, preacher, my life feels just dried up and dead. Get your hind end in your seat at the church. Amen right there.
Amen.
Hey, look up in here. And if you can't get it here, then listen. You maybe say, preacher, this I just don't think this is the place for me. Hey, listen, I will go on a search with you to find a place where you can have the Word of God preached to you and you can be receptive to it. I'll take time out of my day to help you get into that position. Because listen, it's not about me. It's not about this building. It's not about this ministry. It's about the Word of God being used effectively.
Amen.
And here's what he told Ezekiel, not only to preach, but to preach with purpose.
Look at verse number 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones. By the way, I ain't going to be able to finish this message, but notice that how he addressed them. You know, there is a value in the preaching of God's word in calling a spade a spade. Notice what he said. O ye dry bones. You know what that reminds me of? When John the Baptist looked at them Pharisees and said, oh, ye brood of vipers. Whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Say, why would you say that? These bones, you don't think these bones know they're dry? Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but it ain't my job to dance around it. Amen. He said, hey, you dried up bones. Hey, sometimes the preacher's just got to call it for what it is. Amen. Oh, you dry bones. Listen, nowadays that Ezekiel would be called one of them mean preachers. Yeah. At what point did it become mean to tell the truth? Somewhere in our history, in the last 50, 60 years, telling the truth became hate speech. But hey, look up in here. They ain't here. Amen. I'm preaching to y'all, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen. Ezekiel said, hey, you dried up bunch of bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen here. I'm going to preach to you, not my opinion, not what I think about it. I'm going to give you what God says about it. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now that's a bold statement.
Amen.
Looking at a valley full of dry bones. You shall live. So how did he know that? Because God's the one that put him in that position. How can I look at somebody and say, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved and you will eternally be saved and there's never going to be a day when you are not a part of the family of God? I can look at you and tell you that not because I can convey that to you, but because God can. And I will lay sinews upon you and I will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin. Look at, did y'all notice that God's not asking any questions right here? I may have to finish this tonight, but I'm just going to preach.
Preach on.
Notice that God's not making any requests right here. This is very interesting to me. Here's what I mean. The modern day idea of God, we would say, all right now, I'm wanting to put some skin on you, but you just tell me which way you want me to put it on there. All right? Now, do you want a boy's skin or a girl's skin?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want have that? What color do you want it to be? Do you want long hair or short hair, or how do you want this thing to go? I'm gonna put some sinews on you, but now I don't want to hurt you. I want to be real easy with you. Make sure we put I don't care about putting them in the right place. I just want to put them wherever you want them. You wear however you want it. That's how we do it. Now, the Lord just wants to do for you whatever it is that you want. That's the most foolish thing I've ever heard. Look up in here. My Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen.
If your outlook on God is God's going to help me follow my heart, you are sorely mistaken.
Amen.
He said, look, this is the way it's going to be. Can I tell y'all something? You may love this word of God, or you may hate it. You may like it, or it may be like bad medicine to you.
But it don't change what is truth.
Amen.
What I love about the word of God is that it is the only source on this earth of absolute truth.
Amen.
It doesn't change with the customs and with the culture and with what's going on. It's just true all the time.
And I've said it before. I'm going to keep saying it until the Lord takes me out of here. Your resistance to truth doesn't make it any less true. You don't have to like it for it to be true. God said, here's how it's going to be. I'm going to put some skin on you. And I'm going to look at this, verse 6 toward the end there. And put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. God said, I'm going to do it in a way that you're going to be able to look at it and say, nobody done this but God.
Amen.
Preach with purpose. That's what he told Ezekiel to do. Hear, he said, tell them, listen up. This is how it's going to be. Look in verse number 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. Now hold right there for just a second.
You know why I have to stop every once in a while and say, hey, say amen right there. Because I'm checking to see if y'all are still alive. I remember in the Old Testament, Elijah revived a little boy that had died. And there was a whole process that he went to. He laid down on him and put his hands on his hands and his face on his face and all this stuff. I ain't even getting into all that. But the Bible says that right about the moment that Elijah thought, maybe this ain't going to work, the Bible says that the boy sneezed. I believe it was 7 times he sneezed. And you say, why would a sneeze matter? You know what a sneeze is? A sign of life.
Amen.
Dead people don't sneeze.
That's
right. Say, preacher, why do you want us to talk back to you once in a while? So I can make sure you're still alive. Amen. It's a sign of life.
There was a noise. You know what happened? When stuff started happening, there was noise. Hey, listen, noise can sometimes be overwhelming. Noise can sometimes be frustrating. And, let me explain it to you like this. There are many, many churches that almost could have had a really strong youth ministry, but they couldn't handle all the noise.
They couldn't handle the kids being wild and tearing stuff up and causing trouble and running out around being wild and the mamas and daddies getting mad and all. They couldn't handle all that. Hey, listen, when there's life, there's noise. You know what the first thing that happens to me when I wake up in the morning? I make a whole bunch of noise. Grunts and coughs and cracks and pops. And hey, man, I might be old, but I'm still alive. Amen. There was a shaking. There was movement. There was stuff happening. All of a sudden, this valley of dry bones that looked like it was just still. Can you imagine what that looked like, still and quiet? I can't help it, but I get these pictures in my head. Y'all ever seen The Lion King? Amen. When they went to the elephant graveyard, that's what I'm thinking in my head. It's just nothingness. And stuff starts moving. Man, that can be scary. That can be overwhelming. But where there's life, there's movement. There's noise. You know what? You know, when a lot of churches don't grow because when people start coming in and getting saved and their lives start being changed, they don't know all the proper procedures yet. And they do stuff that makes you go, What in the world? You know, I mean, I've seen, I'm telling you, I've seen some stuff in my time. I'll just say it like that. And we get frustrated by that type of stuff. Hey, look up in here, man. Where there's life, hey, stuff happened.
Amen.
There was a shaking. And the bone, this is big. This is big. I'm going to have to quit and preach the rest of it tonight. But this is huge. Do not miss this next part. Because this is the part when life became engaged here in this valley of dry bones. When God began to move into this situation and do miraculous things to get to the next step in the process. This is what happened, what had to happen. Are y'all listening to me? Say amen.
Amen.
And the bones came together. Bone to bone. If this part didn't happen, they never could have progressed to the next part. We're going to talk about it tonight, how God brought in the wind and breathed into them. None of that could have happened if they hadn't come together. Church, hear me right here. How do we progress into having life? How do we progress into something that is usable for God? We got to do it together.
Amen.
We have to join together. How good and how perfect it is for brothers to dwell in unity. You know, listen, getting together comes with its own set of problems. My knee, Brother David, my knee, now I ain't whining and I ain't that old, but there's not a lot of cartilage in there. And that cartilage is what keeps your bones from rubbing up against one another. And I don't really understand how this works, but when your bones rub up against one another, it is very uncomfortable.
Yes, it is.
All right? It hurts. But I can still walk. If I didn't have nothing past that, I'd be in trouble. If I relieved that discomfort, I wouldn't have a piece that I need. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes when we join together, there's some discomfort. Can I say it like a Christian? Are you listening to me? Because this is going to be controversial. If anybody cared, this will be controversial. You ain't got to like everybody. There is a big difference between love and like. That's why Jesus said, love your neighbor, not like your neighbor. Because you can love them even if you don't like them.
Amen.
But you can't like them if you don't love them. You ain't got to get along with everybody to be unified. We have a twisted picture of unity. And our idea is that we all have to be in perfect harmony with one another all the time to be in unity. And that's why we hold in stuff and we hold in stuff and we hold in stuff, and then all of a sudden it blows off like a drum of gasoline because we haven't dealt with the issues between us. That need, one day there's going to come a point where I'm going to have to go to a doctor and he's going to do something about that so that that joint can work together like it's supposed to. And that's going to be uncomfortable too. But that's what it takes sometimes. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Unity is not about faking like you like one another. Unity is about having a unified purpose and making a decision that you're going to pursue that purpose, and you're going to find a way to pursue it with the people that God has put in your life to help you pursue it with. Mm-hmm. Unity is about getting the job done even when it ain't fun.
Amen.
Because God has put you in a place full of people that are there to help you get the job done. We got to come together. Listen, I'm telling you, there's more work for God's been ceased over stuff like this. Well, I just don't like old so-and-so.
Well, hold on a minute. Are you serving them or are you serving God?
Amen.
Is it about them or is it about He? Is it about you or is it about Him? Maybe you need to figure out a way where you and old so-and-so can... Maybe y'all just need to be on opposite sides of the room when you're doing whatever it is you're doing, but keep doing it. Together.
Together, the bones can become life.
Amen.
Unity. You're going to have to come back tonight to hear the rest of it. That's the only thing I can tell you. Hunter's coming to the piano. I want you to stand together, heads.